We come today in Matthew, in Acts chapter 16, to a mother. Her name is Lydia. Mothers are well represented in this lady called Lydia in Acts 16 and verse 14. She is referred to here as a certain woman named Lydia. She is an example to us of one whose heart the Lord opened. Lydia was no doubt at the right place at the right time. And because the Lord in great grace opened her heart, she was enabled, not by her own power, but she was enabled by grace to respond to the gospel in the right way. And it is this woman's example, and it is her situation that I want us to look at today. She was in a rather unusual setting. It was by a riverside. And we can understand the habits of women in Bible times, that they would have often been found wherever there was water. They, of course, would have carried the water for domestic purposes from a river or well. Or they may have visited water's edge to wash their clothes and do their domestic duties. But these women were not there merely for domestic reasons. They were in a place where prayer was wont to be made. The strange thing that we may look at is that this woman was not a Jew. She was a Greek. Her name gives it away that she was a Greek. The other strange thing that we need to realize that even in synagogues, the Greeks often attended. And they attended to hear the reading and the expounding of the Scriptures. That is something that Paul the Apostle took great advantage of when he went from city to city to preach the gospel. Here were, in these places, ready-made audiences. And here, when he came to this river's edge and found this group of women in a place where prayer was wont to be made, he began to preach. And in great mercy, Lydia was there. And in God's favor, we are told that the Lord opened her heart. What else do we know about this lady? Well, we know that she was rich. She was a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman. She was not a native of this area. She was from the land of Asia Minor, the city of Thyatira. She was a seller of purple to dye material. She was probably on some kind of a sales pitch as she came to this city of Philippi over that stretch of water. She was not necessarily at home, but at home away from home among these other ladies. She was also somewhat religious. And of course, the more we look into history and the cultures of the world, we find out that just about everybody is religious one way or another. Even those who follow Wicca and witchcraft, you have to say they are religious. They believe in powers beyond the visible. They believe in the invisible powers. They believe in some kind of life beyond this world. Therefore, they are religious. Now, what this woman understood about the truth, we don't know. But God uses the hearing of His Word. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And so I trust that you are in the right place today. And if you perhaps are like this woman, religious, you say, well, I have an interest, a curiosity about eternal things, about invisible things, things beyond this world. Well, you're in the right place because we have our Bibles open and we want to look into God's truth about eternal things. This woman was responsive to the preaching of the Word. We're told that the Lord opened her heart so that she attended to the things that were spoken unto her. Here was a miracle of grace. In the silence, in the secret of fashion of the Spirit of God, while Paul was preaching, a miracle was unfolding in this woman's heart. And so she was converted to Christianity. And in the short little space that Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, gives to this account, and he was on these travels with Paul, he was there, he was able to record the situation, and in the short little space he gives, we see this woman vastly changed because her heart was opened. That certainly would be our prayer for all and for ladies in our church here today, that there might be this mighty miracle of grace, transforming grace, changing grace in your life. And so she is an example to us of one who is brought to faith in the Lord Jesus and the changes that takes place. If you are not saved today, if you're not a Christian today, I trust that you will be our Lydia. That there may even be girls or mothers, boys or men, that you will be our Lydia today. That you will have your heart open so that you will attend to the things that are preached unto you. The first observation I'd like to make as a main line of thought here today, to really get into the inside scoop on Lydia, is that her religion was a matter of the heart. It was not the externalizing of visible things. It was not the looking on as an observer. What made this woman so dramatically different to be a Christian was that the Lord opened her heart. It was not her riches. In spite of her trade, in spite of her obvious success as a businesswoman, it was not her riches that made Lydia a Christian. Money very often becomes a stumbling block to Christianity, because money is that kind of power that people love to hold on to. They look upon it almost as their God, their means of security. And as they think about age coming on and retirement, or perhaps the other pressing needs of life, they think money is the answer. And if I let go of money, what do I have that is tangible that I might trust in? The gospel, of course, is intangible in that you cannot lay your hand on it. It's not like a bar of gold and say, here it is, physically mine. But if we understand the gospel, it is greater than earthly riches. Or as the Lord Jesus talked about letting go of money and gold, because moth corrupts, rust destroys. These are really things that do not bring security. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. So this woman, her religion was not her riches, nor was it her past religion. She was not trusting in some Greek philosophy. She came to attend to the Word of God. Nor was it her respectability. No doubt this woman had an acceptance in various circles. She would have been considering herself as able to trade with Asia Minor people, Thyatira, her hometown, and cross over into Europe, into Macedonia, be accepted in this cosmopolitan city of Philippi. It was a Roman garrison. She would have had links perhaps even to Rome as she went about her trade in this major city of Philippi. But with all her standing and respectability, that was not her hope of salvation. Nor was it her own reasoning. Because if this woman had come and asked Paul a whole bunch of questions and said, now, can I compare what you're saying with what I know or with what I understand? No, we realize from this account that she gave up her own reasoning and she surrendered to the things that Paul had spoken. Now, as I know Paul, as I think I know him, and as we hear him preach in many other situations, he would have given these ladies the whole gospel, 16 ounces to the pound, or a full measure. He would have told the story of the unique personality of our Lord Jesus, the miraculous nature in Him, His perfect life and death and resurrection. And these women would have heard these truths with great interest. And it was while she heard these things that her heart was opened. And she was no longer depending on her own reasoning. She gave it up. And she attended to the things that were spoken by the Apostle Paul. You know, sinful men will never reason their way to God. Never will. Never have. Never will. With all the thoughts in man's head, and all the ideas that may be spawned in his own brains, man will never reason his way to God. The gospel is not based on human reason. It is based on divine revelation. There's the difference between man's philosophy and God's theology. There's the difference between humanism and Christianity. Christianity is the gospel of a book. Humanism is the imagination to assist man in his own endeavors. Which are you following today? Are you like Lydia, whose heart was opened that she attended to the things preached out of the book? And as Paul did with the Bereans, he encouraged them to search the scriptures to see if these things were so. I wonder today, is your religion based on a heart's thirst for divine knowledge, revelation, the truths of the gospel as revealed? You'll notice that it was her heart that was opened and not her head. I'm sure if we could look inside Lydia's head, we'd learn a whole lot of things. But it was her heart that was opened. Now, what is the human heart in spiritual terms? I think we know that it's not the organ that pumps the blood. Usually when we talk about the heart, it is this that is supposed to be beating a few times a minute inside our chest. Now, the Greek word for heart is cardia, and it really is the same as the English word heart. There are not different words in the Greek, the Bible language, for the heart as an organ. But it is not referring to that. It's referring to the seat of affections, the real soul of man, the real inner nature of the human being. The heart is the ability to love, to choose, to disciple, and to truly obey. That's why the Lord says, "Give me thine heart. Give me your affection. Give me yourself. Give me your being." And of course, we tell our wives, "I love you with all my heart." That's more than just this that's pumping inside of us. It's your whole desire is toward the person that you love. Now the Lord asks us to give our hearts to Him. He comes to open our hearts, to pray for the heart and from the heart. He wants our devotion to be not the external outward manifestation of some nice person, but the love, the devotion, the deep-seated expression of the real you. Have you given that to God? Has your heart been opened? Or have you shut God out that you can live unto yourself? Now Lydia did not do that. It says that her heart was opened. Her heart was opened. That implies that it was already closed prior to this. Her heart had been closed. God was shut out. Her affection and her delight was not in the true God of heaven, but somewhere else. Where is your heart today? Is it closed? What is a closed heart? This is the problem of mankind. This is the problem of all sons of Adam. We have hearts that are not right with God. And man says, there is no place for God in my heart. Now that's more than a decision. It's more than just you somewhere in your early childhood or teenage years, you just said, I made a choice, God's not for me, and you went another way. It's more than that. It is a heart disease. Every one of us, born of Adam's race, have a disease of heart. And the problem is that all men and women, boys and girls, are in bondage to a fallen nature, a closed heart, however you wish to describe it. I think Paul is, or Luke, who actually recorded this miracle that the Lord opened her heart, it shows that before there was a reticence, there was a withdrawing, there was a shying away, and a fear of hearing something that you might have to believe or respond to. The transformation, the miracle of an opened heart, is the wide-eyed delight in hearing and in knowing the way to God, the way to peace with God. Now, man's heart, as I say, it's not just that somewhere along the way you made a wrong decision, but rather there is this deep-seated bondage, this hostility against God. I want to just take you to a few Bible verses to set this before you. The first one is John 1:11, where we're told that the Lord Jesus came unto his own people, but they received him not. There's a closed heart, not just of one person, but a whole nation of people. The whole of the very race of people that he came to, they received him not. Why? Well, if you go back into verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. There is that bondage of blindness, which leads to hostility. Then in John 3, verse 19, you have this emphasized again. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There is their bondage to evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. These truths in the Bible tell us that you need your heart open, as Lydia did. You need your heart to be changed, transformed. You need a new heart. You need to be changed by the power of God. That brings me to the power now that did change Lydia's heart. Back in Acts 16 and the verse 14, it says in the middle of the verse, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened. It was not her own power. Lydia could not change herself. Fallen human nature cannot reverse the disposition of depraved, fallen nature. It is impossible for you to change your own heart. Nor was it Paul's power. Now, I admire Paul as a preacher. I wish I could preach a tenth of how he preached. I can preach the same gospel, but I'm afraid I don't preach it with the same power and the same brilliance as Paul did. With all the gifts and all the theology and all the inspiration of Paul, he was only a man, and he couldn't reach into her heart to change Lydia, much as he would have liked to. I'm sure he stood before many people that he'd have loved to have changed them, but he couldn't. They threw stones at him. They mocked him, but he couldn't change their hearts. And no preacher can. No church, no body of believers can work a miracle in your heart to change your heart. That has to be a greater power. And it's not group power. We're living in times when people say, you know, if you're into the group mentality, the crowd mentality, like going to a hockey game, and you know the fervor that is worked up at such a game, We had a fad in the move in North America called Promise Keepers. And it was based, it was organized really by a football coach. And he applied the same methods to this mood of crowd control over the preaching of Christianity. And he rented huge stadiums, brought thousands together, and with this atmosphere that is produced by the crowd, sought to give invitations to receive the gospel. This mass evangelism based on the power of a crowd. But it doesn't change the human heart. Now, I don't deny that God can do the miracle amongst 10,000 as God did the miracle with Lydia amongst a few ladies at the riverside. God can do that miracle there. But it's not the crowd power that does it. It says here, the Lord opened her. It has to be the Lord that will open the heart and change you. That brings us to the miracle of regeneration. Regeneration. Think of that. Generate means to give life. To regenerate means to bring back to life that which has died. To regenerate. And of course, sin has caused desires for God to die. That delight in God to die. Hostility has come in. Grace, the miracle of God's grace, redoes it, reverses the hostility, changes the seat of the will, changes the desires of the heart, so that all things are passed away and all things become new. Now back in John's Gospel again, chapter 1:13, you'll notice that this is a completely divine miracle. It's not any other human power. And it says here in John 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born spiritually, reborn, born again, regenerated, is the work of God by His Spirit. It can't be done by flesh. It can't be done by human race. It's not easier to preach to one race of people as opposed to another. What makes the difference is the Spirit of God changing heart, regenerating that heart. Then, of course, in John 3:8, we have this sovereign work again displayed in the conversion of Nicodemus, where the Lord said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And verse 8 is the verse in view here. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. This is a sovereign mystery. Why did God save that person while they were sitting watching the movies? I don't know. But it happened. Why is it that a person is converted just sitting in their own room thinking? I don't know. The wind bloweth where it listeth. And why is it that people can come to hear the preaching and the preacher hasn't the power to do a thing? Doesn't see people converted for a considerable time. Why? Because it's not of man, nor of blood, nor of the flesh. It is the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This is the sovereign miracle of God's grace. We may ask, why Lydia? There was these other women. We don't read about them being converted and having their hearts opened. Why just Lydia? I don't know. But that demonstrates, if everybody had been converted, we would be saying, boy, Paul, if he gets over there, every one of them will be saved. No, that demonstrated wasn't Paul. It was God's power at work. Because God saved one and the others, at least, are not mentioned. We don't know how or how many came to know the Lord at a later date. And so, it's the power of God. You cannot work it up yourself. What do? You come as you are to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a dead heart. I have a heart that is lost, corrupt, and depraved, and I need to be changed. I need to be born again. You go to the Lord with the deadness of your heart, and you say, Lord, come into my life. Change me. Change me now. This is really the answer to the messages of the world. I read about Dr. Harry Ironside, who preached one day, and that he noticed sitting in the crowd that there was a very learned-looking man writing on a card. The man was Arthur Lewis, an agnostic lecturer. What he wrote on the card was a challenge to the preacher that was sent up to him to a debate on the subject of agnosticism versus Christianity. And when Dr. Ironside got the card and read it and thought for a few seconds, he threw out a counter-challenge. And he said, yes, I will accept the challenge to a debate on agnosticism versus Christianity if, first of all, you bring with you one man who was an outcast, a slave to sinful lusts, but who heard you or some other infidel lecture on agnosticism and was helped by it. And also, I want you to bring one woman who was once lost to purity and goodness, but who can now testify that agnosticism found them in their sin and changed their life. Need I go on to say that there was no debate? Because unbelief changes no one. But praise God, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And this gospel works. I think this congregation proves this gospel works. I know that you're not trusting in the preacher. I've talked to enough of you to know that. I know that you're not trusting in free Presbyterianism to get you to heaven. You're smarter than that. I know that you have not put your trust in the corporate gathering of a vast number of people, because we don't have it. We only have a few people. But the gospel is still alive in your heart. You've been changed from the love of sin to the grace of God, and you delight in your Savior, and you can say that while you are not what you should be, you're not what you once were. Hallelujah! This gospel changes lives! And Lydia is our outstanding example. We praise God that this gospel is not of men, nor of the will of man, nor of blood, nor of the flesh, but of God. The Lord opened her heart. Now we need to see the effects that this had in her life. You'll notice in the very short account that is given here, in verse 15, that there was a mighty effect. First of all, I would back up a little and say that she had a reception to the Lord's word. And that's always a good sign. When the preacher sees unsaved people, careless people, taking an interest in God's word, that's sign number one. There's hope here. Here's someone to be praying for. Here's someone to be preaching to. Because they're attending to the things that are being spoken. And there is the mark of a heart that is regenerate, attending to the Word of God. And we know our Lord Jesus preached about the seed falling on the various kinds of ground. There was nothing wrong with the seed. There was the wayside, there was the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. The seed was fine, but it needed to be received into the deep soil. And when the Lord opens the heart, seed gets in. It's not snatched away by the devil. It's not choked by thorn or perishing because of rocks. The Lord tills the heart. The Lord cultivates the heart so that the gospel begins to take root and grows. You'll notice there was a readiness to obey the gospel. The first mention here is baptism. A readiness to witness the gospel. She was baptized. The sign and seal of the cleansing work of Calvary. The outward symbol of the inward washing of the Holy Ghost. This woman was not ashamed to become a living testimony outwardly before men of what the Lord had already done within her heart. She was willing to be baptized. And of course, it mentions here that she considered her household. The big debate is whether they were adults or children or what age they were at or whether they understood the gospel. I would like to think that they did understand the gospel. And they were baptized as well. She had a burden for her family, we can say that. She had a burden for her family. And the person who claims to be converted, but has no burden for his or her family, is suspect. Very suspect. We have people ask about our prayer meetings. Well, what do you pray for at your prayer meeting for an hour? What could you possibly ask for an hour? Do you have family members unsaved? And you don't know what you'd be praying about? Something wrong. When the Lord opens a heart and they don't see the lost condition of men around them. This woman did. This woman wanted her family to be brought in. There was a readiness also to be useful in the service of the gospel. She opened her home. She invited, in fact, she humbly constrained the preachers to come. And she said, "If ye have judged me faithful to the Lord." There's the humility. A proud woman. This woman had something to be proud about. She was successful in business. She was respectable. She was outwardly a popular woman. But here you mark this humility that grace plants in the heart. If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Just think of a preacher asked or pleaded with on those terms. If you think me to be a faithful Christian, would you come to my home? How could you turn down an invitation like that? How could you worm your way out of that one? You couldn't. Unless you offended the poor woman and said, "Look, I'm sorry, you're not faithful enough." There would be grief if they turned down the invitation. And she opened not only her heart, but she opened her house. Opened her house. And there is the mark of conversion. It begins in the heart, but it opens up all of life to the glory of God, to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, to the promotion of that kingdom in any way possible. There is the mark of one whose heart has been opened. How do you match up with Lydia today? Can you really say your heart has been opened? Can you really say that this deep change has come into your life? That you are now willing to testify as a public witness for the Lord Jesus? I would even ask some here today, are you baptized? Why are you not interested in being a public witness for the Lord? Is there some reticence, some unwillingness? Is your heart therefore closed? Surely the opened heart means that your whole life is on the altar of sacrifice and service for God. If you fear you haven't been changed, I ask you now, will you come to the Lord for a new heart? He's the only one that can give it. He's the only one that can convert you. He said ye must be born again, and he's the one that does it. Would you truly love the Lord and rest in his grace? Then you need a new heart. Ask for the miracle of the new birth in you, that it might be said of you, the Lord opened his heart. Now we have in human terms, I gave my heart to Jesus. I opened my heart to the Lord Jesus. That's quite true. I can remember when I came as a sinner to the Lord, I opened my heart to the Lord Jesus. I can remember the preacher getting me down on beside a chair on my knees, praying for mercy and salvation. I called. I asked. I came to the Lord. I wanted to be saved. But I also know that before I wanted, the Lord was opening my heart. The Lord was doing the miracle within. So don't sit in your seat saying, "Well, I'll just wait until the Lord does it and then I'll come. Oh no, you're not off the hook that easy. You have a responsibility to call, to come. And the Lord says, all that come, I will in no wise count. I trust there'll be a Lydia here today. The Lord will change your heart. And there'll be a new work begun within. And we'll see all the evidences in days to come. Come to the Lord. If I can help you, feel free to talk with me after the service.